Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rock and Nuhu. Understand that God does and speaks through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Is it in your story also?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's in your story also?
Yes.
Is God in the details?
Yeah.
Are you sure that God is in the details of your life?
Yeah.
How many of you know that there's no detail that is not working together for your good? You know, Pastor Kachi led the prayer a few minutes ago, but I want to repeat that prayer all over again. No affliction in your life was designed to last forever. Weeping has an expiry date. The Bible says it lasts for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Can you lift up your right hand and declare, my season of weeping has expired. My season of crying has ended. My days of affliction have come to an end. I announce joy in my morning. I can't hear you. I announce joy in my morning. Can you turn that into a prayer this morning? I announce joy, joy, joy. I announce joy in my morning. I know God is in the story. The story may not look very pleasant and nice, but I know God is in my story. Joy. I announce joy in my morning. I announce joy in my morning. Joy in my morning. Joy in my morning. Joy in my morning. Shebado koroboko si telebide koselebada. Shatu beli korobi gazi vedimento bali korabada kashitas. Semeletu beli kosi belade vizi hentele bakosa. Jubalikote mande grabi de vizelebedo kosito. Nemboko sebilo komboroko suvra de kasayat. Shis menti peliko rabe de kosile monta baliaska. Anamako si bredi kosile manto barakayato. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Is it okay if we celebrate our King, our God, and our Father? Come on, if Jesus is in the story, if he's in the details, you go ahead and celebrate him. It's the only God who can bring a message out of your mess. It's the only God that can take your broken pieces and build a great woman and a great man. Go ahead and celebrate your God this morning in the house. Hallelujah. Keep giving him praise this morning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Please sit down like the king that you have. Again, welcome to church. Last Sunday, Pastor Rema, all the way from Houston, was a blessing, wasn't he? Let's put our hands together and appreciate him. And please appreciate City of David. Appreciate City of David. Thank you very much. Amen. Now, very quickly, the rest of this month is still our celebration of Easter, and we are still talking about the cross. And for the rest of the Sundays of this month, we'll be dealing with discharge and acquitted. Anybody discharged here? I said anybody discharged here? Anybody acquitted here? All right. Very quickly, we also want to appreciate our team at the Skill Up program for doing a great work. Excellent, awesome work. Now let's put our hands together for them. Before the end of this service, I am going to do something. Now, we have just about a week, just 1 week to go. Now, somewhere at the beginning of the program, we had announced the budget for the program. Let me have my phone. Please, quickly. We had announced the budget for the program, and that budget came to about 9 million, if I remember, 9 million and a fraction, or a fraction just before 9 million, just a little fraction before 9 million. And that covered diesel. It covered running expenses, and it also covered our promise to empower people with some kind of soft loan as the program begins. Now, on the day we try to ask you to give, I know the giving came to help me in the Holy Spirit. I have the figures here. That's why I called for my phone. All right, it came to 2,972,300, which is a bit little less than 3 million. And with a budget of 9 million, that's far from our far cry. So before the end of this service, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you again to give towards that program. And I was asking us to give just 10,000 naira. For those who want to give more, wonderful. I gave 100,000, and I'm sure some other people did also. But I said, let's give just 10,000 so we can put it together and be able to train people and not empower them really means doesn't mean much. Because a lot of the people there are barely trying to feed. So after the training, even if it's just 50,000 for them to be able to buy the flour to do the baking, or 100,000 as the case may be, our target is 100,000. We want to make sure we put something in their hands for those who have distinguished themselves in the training. Is that okay? So somewhere at the end of this service, usually it would have been better to do it now, not at the end of the service. Because at the end of the service, we'll be taking your offerings and your tithes, which runs our church. And we don't want to mix them together. Now, I do know that I didn't prepare you for this, but it's important we make this call, even if you have to bring it next Sunday. But just in case you are here, and see, it's an awesome work these guys are doing. Close to 500 people being trained on all kinds of skill set. You saw it in the course of Rock News. And our desire is that we cannot just run a church where we only teach the word of God. And we also don't want to run a church where people are being spoon-fed, where they're giving fish to eat. We want to run a church where everybody is able to make their own money, look after their own business, pay their bills, and take care of their families. So this program has been sent out, and so far, our facilitators, our trainers have done an excellent job. Again, let's put our hands together for every one of them. Now, if you are in this place and you want to be a part of it, you can't do the training, but you want to contribute that 10,000 naira that can help somebody to be able to start up or do something and all that. We have a lot of bills unpaid with a budget of about 9 million, and we have less than 3 million gotten so far. That means we're even running right now on, we're running on deficit, on a serious deficit, apart from even whatever we want to give out to people. Amen. Is there anyone that want to join to say, I will give my 10,000 for the program? Is there anyone who wants to join us? Let me see your hand up. Others have given, many people here have given, so you are not the first to give. But just in case you are here, or you are giving before, you want to add another 10,000 so we can make it up to the budget. Is there anybody like that? Can I see your hand? God bless you all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. Let me see more hands. Any hands upstairs? Do we have network upstairs? Any network upstairs? Okay, one hand upstairs. All right. Is there any other person that want to join us? Please keep the hands up. We need to see them so that we can know how we can collate them together. Now, thank you. Every one of you whose hands are up, thank you. Thank you. Now, is there anyone who may not be able to give 10, but you want to give 5,000? Because 10 may be a bit out of your budget for now. Anybody like that? Please let me see your hands. Do you have anyone like that? Okay. Anybody like that, sir? All right. Now, thank you. Thank you. But whatever amount you want to give, please, the account details are right now on the screen. Make your transfer. We have 1 week to the end of the program. That means by next Sunday, we should be giving out the scholar, the grants or whatever, according to your giving. So please, I want to encourage you. Let's quickly send the monies across right away so we can collate them together, see what we can come up with. If the money's not there, we'll just graduate the people next Sunday and send them away. There's nothing we can do about it. But I think it would have been good if we kept our promise to them to put something in their hands and help them to be able to stand. Amen. I said amen. All right. So please join us and let's make this happen. Is that okay? Please talk to me. Is that okay? I mean, if you don't have 5,000, you want to give 2,000, 3,000, whatever, please do. Again, let me see your hands. I want to give 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever. Anybody like that? I don't have the 5,000, but I can give 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Anybody like that? Is there anybody like that? Wave your hands if you are giving. Giving is something, is a part of your worship. It's not something we are ashamed to talk about. Amen. It's a part of your worship. Your giving to God, your giving to help people start business is part of your worship. Let's see your hands once again, please. Wave those hands. Pastor, I want to give my 500, 1,000, blah, blah, blah. Let me see your hands. All right. Now, ushers, I'm just going to pray for all these people right now, and then I'll release them to do their giving. Please, just lift up your hand. If you raise your hand for 10,000, 1 million, 500, 1,000, 5,000, just raise up your hand. My Father, bless everyone who is making this sacrifice. For some people, it's not even a convenient one, but it's because of the love of God that they have. Bless them, provide for them. And as they release these sacrifices, I pray, oh God, that it will pay the bills for this program, and it will put money in the hands of the people who truly need them. Have your way, our Father, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Once again, thank you. God bless you. Please do the transfers. Don't remove that thing now. Make sure you snap it before they take it off the screen. Do your transfer right away. Or if you're giving cash, contact the ushers. Ushers, please make sure you are all over the place. Don't keep the place scarce, or don't let there be scarcity of ushers in case somebody wants to contact you. Amen. I said amen. For the last time, I said amen. All right. All of you worshiping online, we want to say thank you. We love you so much, and we thank you for being a part of service today. Hallelujah. It's good to see again our brother, Pastor Chinedu Eduzo. It's been a long, long, long time. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Bless you, sir. It's been a long time. How is mommy doing? Mommy's fine. We haven't seen her in a very long time. Welcome. Welcome, sir. Yeah. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. All right. Are you ready this morning? Jump on your feet. Matthew 27, 24. Squeeze somebody's hand and tell them discharge and acquitted. Just squeeze somebody's hand softly. Say discharge and acquitted. Matthew 27, 24. Matthew 27, 24. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 24. Praise God. Sorry, I'm trying to cross-check if my slides are up there. So now I need to really be sure. Please give me 1 second. Okay, let's do the reading together. Let's read the reading together. Verse 20. Verse 20 what now? 24:25. Let's read it together, everybody. To go. Is it there? Okay. Thank you. Praise God. Let's take verse 25 again. Everybody, two, go. Verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, let me ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you chop or you not chop? Say, neighbor, if you chop, make you talk. Not be so that they talk for church. Neighbor, talk. Oh yeah, so let's read verse 25 now. Two go. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts and transform our lives. Do something in our families, in our lives, in our homes where we're coming from that will have an eternal impact and result that generations born and unborn will continue to thank God for this meeting. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say aloud, amen. Amen. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. Sit down like the king that you are. It's been our season. Fantastic. Oh my God. Please, I'm so sorry. I have to change my sermon. Then they put my first service sermon is here. My second service sermon is here, while the first service sermon has not arrived. So please let me change the sermon. Just give me 1 second, okay? Are you still there? Just give me 1 minute. I'll be done. Okay. Oh, Jesus. All right. Someone is someone. Am I right? All right, so I've done the change, and we can roll with it. Now, everybody look up here. We've been on our Easter season, and we've been dealing with all kinds of the blessings and breaking of curses and so on and so forth. And I said that for the rest of the month, we'll be dealing with discharge and acquitted. Are you still there? Are you still there? And interestingly, this was one of the drama that took place when Jesus was before Pilate at the point before he was crucified. Pilate had already discovered that this guy is innocent. Pilate said, well, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this thing that you guys want to bring on your head. I know the implication of shedding innocent blood, and I won't be a part of it. So guys, the Bible said he washed his hands and all that and so on. And when he told the Jews, whatever you guys want to do is on you people, they said, his blood be on us and on who? And can I say this to you? The children of the Jews are still paying for it. The war in Gaza is part of the price they are paying for it. Is anybody hearing me? When Hitler took, is it 3 million of them or 6 million of them and killed them, stripped them naked and killed them in the gas chamber, is part of that blood that is still speaking. His blood, you see, just take a look at Benjamin Netanyahu. And, okay, so, I mean, okay, I don't want to get into politics now, but I was thinking that with all the support, encouragement, and begging, that he will not retaliate Iran. For, after all, no bullet got to Israel when Iran shot. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Apart from, I've seen one little girl that was injured or something. What? Why are they still talking? In fact, America actually sent an envoy to come beg him. Maybe they might even nail that over, but I beg. No fight back. Wait, we are intervening. And the envoy came back and said, Netanyahu said he's going to fight back. By the time they are talking that night, he has already sent bombs to Iran. Now, the point I'm trying to make, gentlemen, is that Israel is still paying for it. Israel is still paying for it. The bad news is that Israel as a nation does not even acknowledge Christ. As a covenant people, they are blessed. Don't make any doubt about it. The blessing of Abraham speaks for them in ways you can't imagine. I hope you know that there are more Jews in America than in Israel. America has exactly 5 million Jews. In Israel, there are 4.5 million Jews. Sorry, is it 5 million or 6 million Jews in America? There are 6 million Jews in America. There's 5.5 million Jews in Israel. The Jews live more in America than in their place. And they control everything. They control your Hollywood 100%. They control fashion industry. We don't have time for details. I told you, yeah, 40% of the billionaires in America are Jews. 45% of the multi-millionaires are Jews. And we can go on and on and on and on. Nobel Prize winners, 25% of them are all Jews. And these guys are just outstanding. But having said that, ladies and gentlemen, their father said concerning them, his blood be on us and on our children. The one we don't know is what your own father said concerning you. Or your own grandfather said concerning you. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Explain to me that a man is going to shoot a movie and he took video and was and said, look, oh, I don't want to die. Oh. I want to live. Oh. I want to train my children. Oh. And 2 hours later, he was dead inside the same river. Tell me it's ordinary. Tell me it's ordinary. The guy was videoing himself, was scared of the water, was saying, I don't want to die. Oh. I don't want to die. Oh. I wish the guy knew how to speak in tongues. I knew the guy understood some level of spiritual authority. But alas, I don't want to die. I hope you know it doesn't scare Satan. No, it doesn't. Oh. I don't want to die. Please, oh, leave me alone. Oh. I'm married to Jesus. I hope you know it doesn't scare Satan. Are you still with me? Gentlemen, believe it or not, there's something called deliverance. And every single child of God must understand the dynamics of spiritual warfare and strategy. Because if you don't understand it, particularly if you're from Africa, suffer will suffer you for a long time. Oh. Because you see, we live in a terrain that is pretty much different. Don't believe a lot of these white preachers who will tell you, oh, you don't need to this, don't need that, and so on. No, most of the people who are talking to you are third generation Christians. Their great-great-grandfather was a bishop. Grandfather was a bishop. Father was a pastor. You are not operating on the same level, oh. The battles you have to face are different from their battles. So don't be fooled by them. You better do what you need to do to set yourself free and set your brothers and sisters free. Say amen. Are you still with me? Pastor, what is deliverance? Deliverance is simply taking delivery of everything Jesus purchased for you by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What is deliverance? It is enforcing the victory of the cross. Enforcing the victory of the cross upon your life. Ladies and gentlemen, please, it's important we understand that there is a difference between positional liberty and possessing your liberty. There's a difference between positional liberty. How many of you know the Bible says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Anybody knows that? Please talk to me. Anybody knows that? Oh, yes, it is true. It's in the Bible. We have been blessed. Ephesians 1:3. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But please note, it's in heavenly places. It's not on earthly places. Where you live is earthly places. So you have a responsibility to download from heavenly places to earthly places. How many of you know the Bible says the grace of God, Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How many of you know that? Titus 2:11 is there in the Bible. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Is it there? To how many men? To how many men? Question, is every man saved? Can you talk to me, somebody? The grace has appeared to all men. Is everybody saved? No. You know why? Because that it has appeared to you in the realm of the spirit doesn't mean it has become your reality. You must take action to download it. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. It is in heaven, not on earth. Now, so, understand there's a difference between positional liberty and liberty that is realistic. All right? And the truth is that, see, Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. And he has set you free positionally. But you are dealing with an adversary that is eternally stubborn. It's called Satan. He needs a tire. Is anybody hearing me? He does not get tired. Even for Jesus, he left him for a season. He said, no problem, you win this time. I will go, but I will come back again. Are you with me, somebody? And at the end of the day, that's the kind of adversary you're dealing with. And in dealing with this kind of adversary, you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference between just it is written, okay, and enforcing your liberty. How many of you know Satan knows what is written? And he quotes what is written. In fact, the Bible says you believe in God. Thank God you believe in God. The devil also is not different. In fact, he even trembles on top of it. But that has not made him to change. So you must understand that beyond quoting what is written, and by the way, Jesus, what is written, Jesus actually quoted that in the face of trials and temptation. But when it comes to warfare, you must go beyond it is written. You must be able to enforce. Somebody say enforce. Enforce. Say enforce. Say enforce. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? For those of you who are students of Kenneth Hagin, I mean, we got born again and the only person we knew at that time was Kenneth Hagin. You will remember a story Jesus was, Kenneth Hagin shared one day. He said he was conversing with Jesus and they were gisting. And then Satan came and stood in between them, interrupting the discussion. Kenneth Hagin was like, I'm talking with Jesus. Satan is interrupting. I don't have nothing to do now. Jesus is going to take care of it. Satan kept interrupting, going in, coming out, going in, coming out. At some point, he became angry. He said, but Jesus, can't you do something about this? And Jesus said, when I gave you authority and power, I resign from doing something. He said, if you don't cast him out and rebuke him, he will remain there and continue to interrupt our discussion. And Kenneth Hagin was shocked because he felt that, this is a common knowledge that Jesus has risen. Jesus is more powerful. How come he's still disturbing us? Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that life is so deep. And that you must understand that there are a lot of things as a believer you still have to do in order for you to be discharged and acquitted. Now, how many of you know that if an armed robber comes to your house and the armed robber says, your money or your life? And then you reach out for your criminal code or your constitution and you say, Satan, you say, armed robber, you are a very stupid man. Don't you know it is written? Armed robbery is a crime in Nigeria. Look at it, section 5 verse 6. Section 6, paragraph 2 precisely. Armed robbery is a crime in Nigeria. Now, how many of you know if that armed robber was not planning to beat you before, for your stupidity, he will settle down, he will drop his gun and give you the beating of your life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Please answer me. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's why the Bible says, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given you. There is a standing fast to do. There is a forcing to do. And you must always understand. Are you still there, somebody? Please, are you still there, somebody? I was sharing the prayer meeting yesterday. I said, listen, if you are contending over your property in Ekulu, in Transekulu, and then you now went to court and you won the case and they gave you judgment, you took the judgment, you threw victory party, and you went back to your village. 15 years later, how do you know that the tenant will still be in your house? Please talk to me now. How do you take possession of the case you won to collect back your house in Transekulu? Number one, you take the judgment. You collect two policemen from court. You hire 20 agbero. You wait for 5 a.m. when they are snoring. And as they are still snoring, the occupants are snoring. Before they realize, window has gone, door has gone, their properties are outside. Before they say, hey, what's happening? You have thrown them out. You have changed the lock. You have locked the gate and they have left. That's how to take, in Nigeria, that's how to collect your household. I don't know about other countries. Man of God, am I correct? Anything other than that, you'll be carrying the victory in your hand and saying, I won the case. 15 years later, the tenants will still be in your house. I'm not paying rent to you. Somebody say violence. Somebody say violence. Say the violent take it by force. Come on, say the violent take it by force. In the name of Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, I know I don't have much time this morning, but as I speak on discharge and acquitted, I want to deal with something a bit deep. And in this service, I want to speak on what I call discharge and acquitted from the roots of ancestral inheritance. The roots of ancestral inheritance, or the captivity of ancestral inheritance. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we're dealing with, is blood be upon us and upon our children. One of the biggest problems I've discovered when it comes to discharging yourself from the roots or the captivity of ancestral inheritance is the ability to be able to see the roots. Understand that every problem you have has roots. Everybody say roots. How did Solomon put it in Proverbs? In chapter 26 verse 2. Please give it to me. Proverbs 26 verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, he said the causeless shall not what? I can't hear you. Cannot what? The cause cutless will not come. I like the way CPT puts it. An undeserved cause will be powerless to harm you. It may flutter over you like a bird. It may go up and down like a bird, but it will find no place to land. In other words, if there's no cause, there'll be no curse. If there's no reason, it will not come upon you. That's why it's important you trace the root. And I come to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't locate the root of a problem, three things happen to you. Number one, give me my slides. You will spend a lifetime fighting the wrong enemy. Somebody say wrong enemy. Give me my slide. Give me my slide. Give me my slide, I beg you. You will spend three things that happens when you don't locate the roots of that particular captivity that God wants to discharge you from. Number one, you spend a lifetime fighting the wrong enemy. Number two, you keep repeating the same action that reinforced the bondage. You keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Many years ago, a young girl walked into our church. It was Akim that brought her to me and said, this girl has a problem. What's the problem? That when she closes her eyes to sleep, so people will be beating her. She wakes up in the morning, there are bruises all over her face. The face is swollen and all that. And I looked at a very pretty girl. I said, no. So I prayed for her and I said to her, I said, don't go back to that place, that prayer house again. Don't repeat this thing that you are doing. If you return back there, I can't guarantee what will happen to you. This is a true story. All our old pastors know the person I'm talking about. She was in housekeeping department. This girl joined church, became committed, beautiful, bubbling in the Lord, doing very well. One of the finest girls in church. Until one day, I got information that the girl was seen somewhere behaving funny. I quickly asked them to go and look for her. They saw her and called her. The only question I asked her, I said, you went back to that place, didn't you? She said, yes, yes, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. But you know, I was having some challenges. I decided to go back to the place again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a long story. That girl, of course, I tried to see if we could recover her. But she was no longer at this point talking to me. And she disappeared and ran away. The mother came all the way from Warri. It's a long story I'm talking about. The mother came all the way from Warri. We tried to see. At the end of the day, she became a full-blown mad woman. She moved from Enugu to Abuja, from Abuja to another place, and so on and so forth. At some point, the mother tried and finally left her alone. And said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. I have other children to look after. I can't die over this one. Whether she's still alive or not, I don't know. But you know, one interesting thing about the girl was that, please listen to this. In a mad state, one day she found her way to church. And I'm talking about this venue here. This thing happened back in Presidential. This girl found her way back to church one day and came and said that there was a seed she sowed many years ago and that she won the seed back. Oh, yes, you're hearing what I'm saying. I asked her how much. She said, we counted the money and we gave the money to her. She left. Whether she's still alive or not, I don't know. In a mad state. You see, when Satan wants to finish you, he wants to make sure there's nothing speaking for you. So even the seed, maybe that would have helped to keep her, the devil made sure she collected it back. So that everything he wants to do can be done uninhibited. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. May you not repeat what will put you back in the captivity in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I say, may you not repeat it in the name of Jesus. The final thing that happened, ladies and gentlemen, to you when you do not know the root is that you will ignore the simple keys that will give you release. The power, the keys, the secrets that will set you free, you will keep ignoring them. In 9 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, let me speak to you more precisely about the subject matter of captivities that are rooted in ancestral inheritance. Don't forget where we began from. His blood be on us and also on our children. His blood be on us and also on our children. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important we understand that how many of you know most parents never tell you the bad things about where you came from, about what happened in your background? Most parents will never tell you about it. You know why? Every parent wants to look good before their children. One of the credit I give to my father, and please listen to this, one of the greatest credit I give to my father was that my father told me all the ugly things that happened about how I was born. Are you still there with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there with me? Can you talk to me? Are you still there with me? But before I tell you this, let me say this to you. A young man and his younger brother, both of them, their wives gave birth the same week. True story. Their wife gave birth the same week, and the two women, lost their children at birth. His own and the younger brother's own. So, cut a long story short, the young boy rushed to his pastor and said, look, I don't understand. I'm a child of God. I'm committed. I'm faithful. How can me and my brother lose our children at the same time? Cut a long story short, the pastor got praying for him and said, call your father. And the father came. And he said, sorry, sir. Do you know anything about how two of your grandchildren died in 1 week at childbirth? And the man said, maybe it's that thing. He said, what thing? And the man said, when he was a young boy, when a young man newly got married, he said, after about 5 years of marriage, there was no child. So he said, somebody took him to a particular man. When they got there, they cut all his toenails and his fingernails. They cut them, put it in a bottle, wrap it together, put a sinker and put it in the water. Then they baited him in the same river. He said, that same week, that boy was born. 9 months or 10 months later, the younger brother was born. He said, both of them were born about the same time. Cut a long story short, they discovered that whatever that man did was what was responsible for what was going on with him. Now, I was telling you about my father. Everybody look up here. When my father gave birth to me, I didn't know anything about my past. Until anytime he's drunk, he talks to me and he tells me everything. Whether it's the Holy Spirit or influence of alcohol, I don't know which of them. But whatever it was, he tells me. It was in his drunken state, my father repeated that story and never missed any detail. How that my mother was a student who came on a weekend with a friend, you know, weekend hangout with a friend, and he was drunk in that weekend, raped her. She got pregnant. So, in her pregnancy, guess what happened? He said she was so angry as a student in Nana College, Wari, was a teacher training college at the time. Now it's a normal school. And she said he was so angry, my mother made up her mind she was going to terminate the pregnancy. So my mother began to take all kinds of concoction. And particularly, he gave me one of the recipes my mother took at the time. I'm sure you all know what that thing they call blue. Anybody knows blue? They use it in when your white has changed color. And you want to now give it a different speck. You know what I'm talking about? You use blue to wash the white. So my mother will mix blue and alcohol and ogogoro and drink. It was one of the common ways young girls used to use to terminate pregnancy at that time. And she would drink it and drink it and drink it. When I got born again, ladies and gentlemen, I knew I had battles to deal with. Number one, I'm coming from a background of perversion, rape. Number two, I'm also coming from a background of rejection, attempted abortion. I knew that if I didn't deal with those things in my life, they would follow me. So you know the first thing I did concerning rape, I entered a covenant with God. I said, God, if I rape any woman, let me die on top of her while I'm raping her. I said, let it be a death sentence on me. If the devil push me and I decide to rape a woman, I said, let it be a death sentence on me. I will die on top of the woman. Number two, alcohol. Listen to this. Even before I got born again, I said, this alcohol, because I was attending SU fellowship in school, but I wasn't born again. I was going for a fellowship, I do everything, but I wasn't saved. So I understood a lot of things. And I said, Lord, I will never repeat this cycle of my father. Eventually, I got born again, of course. And guess what? 3 years before I got born again, I stopped drinking. I didn't taste a drop of alcohol, not 1%. 3 years before I got saved. And number two, on the subject matter of rejection, I began to intentionally build myself. I said, you are a great man. You are a man of God. I have to keep speaking to myself because I knew that later in life, I will battle with the subject matter of rejection where people will look at me, give every other person they won't give to me. They will do other people favor they won't do to me. And I began to deal with this thing in the place of warfare. Today, whether it's perversion or it's alcohol or it's rejection, listen to this. By the grace of God, God delivered me from every one of them. What am I trying to say to you? Tracing the root of wherever is your ancestral inheritance is so important. All of us here will not understand where we are coming from, but all of us here will understand how to be able to pray, to be able to set yourself free from every baggage in your ancestry that follows you in life. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason why I have 3 minutes to go, but God will help me. Are you still there, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? My God, are you still there, somebody? This is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, you know, how do you know you are having captivity rooted in ancestral inheritance? Number one, many of your relatives are having the same version or the same mutation of that particular captivity. Everybody in the family has delay in getting a child. Everybody in the family, young girls don't get married. Why? Because there is a repeat of the same mutation that happens. There's a repeat of it. Young girls who get married don't stay in their marriage. They must run back after a few years of marriage. You will notice that in the family, there's a relatives have, all of them have versions. Everybody is poor. Everybody who wants to rise beyond a particular level of wealth must die prematurely. You will notice that version or a mutation of that version happening to your uncle, your cousin, and the rest of them. Number two, when the captivity runs in cycles and in seasons, we notice that once people get to a particular age, they must have cancer. After the cancer, they must die. It runs in cycles and it runs in seasons. Or you notice that when they attain a particular age in life, nobody crosses that line. It is a sign that there's an ancestral inheritance or baggage running in the family. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? I will never forget my former pastor back in my former church in Port Harcourt told us about a story of a family in their village. It's from Owo. Owo is on those states. He said that nobody in that family, not one person, can build a house. Not one person can keep a job. You get business, the business will collapse. They start job, they will sack them. Nobody could do anything until, he said, they began to speak to their father, who was still alive at the time, and the man said, they should forgive him. That they said this man was so wealthy back in the day, he was actually shop doing business in England. And that was the days when Nigeria used to spend pounds, not naira. This man came back once upon a time for New Yam Festival in Owo. And he came back with a lot of pounds. And guess what? The guy, they had drummers beating for him, singing for him, following him. It was the festival. And where they were boiling yam, they were putting firewood to boil the yam. You know what this man did? He was bringing down pounds to light the fire. Pounds to light the fire. Pounds to light. While people are spraying other people money, he was so wealthy. It was pounds he was using to make the fire come up. They say at the end of that New Yam Festival, his life just nosedived like this. And by the time he was speaking, was some 40-something years after. Nobody can keep money in the family. Nobody can hold a job. Nobody can build a house. I want to prophesy and speak over somebody who is coming from a place you don't know. You can't explain why it is like this. Why is everybody poor in my family? Or why is everybody going to do the same thing in my family? I declare by the anointing upon this altar that yoke, that root is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. I said it's broken in the mighty name of Jesus. It is scattered in the name of Jesus. How do you know there's ancestral captivity? When you are always serving dead people or seeing dead people all the time in your dream, it's a sign there's an ancestral luggage or baggage or inheritance that is following you. But the most important question is, how are we free from ancestral inheritance? How do we walk away free from it? How do we deliver ourselves from these ancestral inheritances? Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? I want to beg you, do me a favor in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you are in town on Saturday morning, please find your way here. Whatever I'm doing here is preaching. We're not doing the main thing here. Is preaching. Saturday morning, there are some things I want to do. And I'm going to be announcing that in all services. When you're coming on Saturday morning, please do me two favor. From your house, wherever you are, if you live in a place where you know that there are issues, whether it's your home, your village, or your house, I want to come with a piece of sand, just a little sand, put it somewhere, and then also come with salt. Those two items come on Saturday morning. What is going to happen to you on Saturday morning is going to be defining for a lot of families. We're doing that 7 a.m. Saturday morning. It's a very important prayer meeting. I will sacrifice anything for that meeting. Is anybody hearing me? Please do what I'm saying, and God will help you in Jesus' name. And I'm also going to anoint you at the end of that service. Amen. Say loud amen, somebody. Okay. So, Pastor, what's the way out? Number one, repent and renounce the sins of your fathers. Repent, renounce the sins of your father. If you know it, if you don't know it, there's no problem. Just say, Lord, any sin of my fathers, I renounce. God is not holding you responsible for what you don't know. But if you have any idea where it's coming from, listen to this. You don't want to know for how long I had to go to God and say, Lord, I'm coming from a background of perversion, rape. I said, it will never. See, thank God for Deeper Life. Deeper Life did me a lot of good, and I won't lie to you. Because a lot of these things, I started learning them very early as a Christian. And I made up my mind, it ends with my father. It will never repeat itself. Perversion will not follow me into my children. It won't carry me into my future. And I began to, and God was merciful to me and helped me. Rejection will never be my portion. I said, Lord, I said everything my mother did to terminate me so that I will live a life of rejection. I said, it will never happen. That's why when my former girlfriend, you all know my story with Bola, when Bola rejected me, come on, don't laugh at me this morning now. Listen, when Bola rejected me and said she won't do again, I almost died. Is anybody hearing me? Because I was scared that is that thing, that rejection coming back about my family inheritance. And I said, Lord, never, never, never. That's why when my wife said yes, I quickly married you. Before another woman will say no again. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Because everybody know in problem. You know what I'm talking about? So I quickly got married and move on. And by the grace of God, I'm no longer dealing with the issue of rejection. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Number two, address whatever God reveals to you in the place of prayer. Whether you understand it, you don't understand it, just address it. Anything He reveals to you, go ahead and address it. Number three, raise an altar for the season of change. Raise an altar. On Saturday morning, I will raise an altar for you on Saturday morning. But I want to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. Second service, I'm going to deal with another subject matter that will give me time to express in more details. But I want to say this to you, everybody. Please, everybody, look up here. Are you still with me? Please talk to me. Are you still with me? For the last time, are you still with me? I know my time is already up, but listen to me. You know, most of our fathers will never tell you what happened, what they did. No father will ever sit his child and said, I committed adultery in 1975. You have a cousin in so and so place. Most times it's when our fathers die that we discover the cousin we have in Oshogbo. Come on, are you still with me, somebody? Most of them never tell us anything. But the sad thing with baggages is that even medically speaking, when you walk into a hospital and say, I'm diabetic, the first question they ask you is, was your father diabetic? Please answer me, am I correct? And they begin to trace the roots because they want to first of all find out whether it is in the gene, whether it's in the DNA, so they know how to tackle it. It is when it's not in the DNA, so okay, you must have sniffed some substance, you must have exposed yourself to radiation, you must have done this and done that and so on, so they know how to deal with them. The bad news, ladies and gentlemen, is that when it's something doctors can diagnose, it's better for you. But most of the time when it's spiritual, they can be diagnosed by any machine. And this is the reason why, as a child of God, next week I'll be dealing with personal deliverance. Next week, I'll take time to talk to you about some things in details. That's all I want to deal with for the rest of this Easter period. Let us enjoy the full benefit of the cross. If he has actually discharged us and acquitted, we have no reason repeating ourselves on appointment with the police station again. Come on Monday, come on Tuesday. Because when you are discharged and acquitted, that's the difference between being set free and being made free. Jesus, the Bible says you know the truth, and the truth will do what? No, that's why. That's how you are still going back to the police. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. It makes you free. If you are set free, it means that you have to report all the time. See the IPO. See the IPO. See the IPO. But when you are made free, you are permanently free. Can I prophesy over somebody? Whatever it is that speaks against you, works against you, responsible for where people are in the family, I declare by the power of prophecy, that bondage, that captivity breaks in the mighty name of Jesus. I said it breaks in the name of Jesus. I invoke the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary when he said, it is finished. And I declare every bondage, every inheritance, baggage following you from your family, it is completely broken, shattered and destroyed in the name of Jesus. I said shattered and destroyed in the name of Jesus. Shattered and destroyed in the name of Jesus. You know, yesterday I was watching a movie, and I'm going to close. My time is already up. I was watching something on YouTube, very pathetic. Beautiful young girl. Extremely beautiful. A few of you may have seen it on the internet. It's on social media. The girl was, a gentleman who visited the prison was asking her, how, you're so young and beautiful, so how did you come to prison? And she said, she was laughing. She was joking. She had spent 7 years in prison by that time. And guess what? She said, well, it's armed robbery. And they asked her, they said, how much did you steal that brought you here? She said, $300. But that's not the issue. Then I asked her, what? $300? She said, well, she's been doing other robbery before. Okay? But this particular one, it was $300 that brought her here. And then I asked her a question. But how? Where did it all, when did you start this thing? She said, when I was very young. And they said, how did it begin? She said, my mother also was an armed robber. This is in America. She said, my mother also was an armed robber. He said, well, because I grew up watching her do it, and it was natural for me to get into it. I want to pray for somebody. Every negative thing you grew up seeing in your family, everything that is not of God that you saw being done by uncles or aunties or whatever, anything that God did not ordain that you saw somewhere in your ancestry, I want to speak over you, or any sickness, disease, affliction, diabetes, or high blood pressure, or premature death, or poverty, anything whatsoever that God did not ordain that somewhere speaks in your ancestry, in the name that is above every other name, I command that thing broken in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus. I declare concerning you, you are discharged and acquitted. Discharged and acquitted. Listen, the Bible says it shall come to pass, that proverb, that parable will no longer be said, that the fathers ate sour grapes and the teeth of the children is set on edge. So that father that said, his blood be upon us, on our children, those children does not include you. I said they don't include you. This parable will no longer be repeated. The Bible says, for everyone will die for their sins. Concerning you, I declare, every carryover from an ancestry that speaks negatively concerning your destiny, let it be broken this morning. Let it be destroyed this morning. Let it be scattered this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, rise up, everybody. Rise up, everybody. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. If you are in this place and you are not born again, there's no such thing as discharged and acquitted for you, because you are a full-time prisoner. You are a licensed, legal prisoner. Even Jesus can't set you free, because salvation has appeared the grace has appeared to all men, but you must set yourself free by confessing Jesus as your Savior. So if you are here this morning and you're not born again, you want to say, Pastor, can you pray for me to give my life to Jesus? I really want to be free. I don't want to repeat that thing I saw my uncle do. I don't want to go the way this other person went. I want to pray for you this morning. If you're there, can you put your two hands on your chest? I want to pray for you. This is not a time for anybody to leave this church except you have such a serious emergency. You have to be absolutely insensitive to walk out of a church at a time like this. If you have no problem in your family and there are no issues whatsoever, there is certainly somebody in your family you need to pray for. This is not the right time for anybody to walk out of church. Put your two hands on your chest. You want to get born again? Repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. I ask for your mercy and forgiveness. I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. From this day forward, I pray that I will walk with you and I will serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, because I know I will never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say aloud, amen. Now everybody lift up your right hand. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I want to repeat all over again. Every baggage, every luggage, every excess load that does not belong to you, but you are carrying because of where you're coming from, let that load be broken over your life in the name of Jesus. Let that bondage or that luggage drop from off your spirit in the name of Jesus. Let that captivity end this morning in the name of Jesus. I speak over you and I declare you are discharged and acquitted. Discharged and acquitted. Discharged and acquitted. Christ has set you free. I declare you'll be free all the days of your life. Free all the days of your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that the clouds that covered your family, that cloud will lift over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. It will never cover your own family in the name of Jesus. You will walk in the liberty, stand in the liberty, live in the liberty that Christ has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to declare any blood, they say, his blood be upon us and on our children. Any blood, I don't know the nature of the blood that speaks against you, coming in from your ancestry, I counter that blood by the efficacy of a greater blood. There's a blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel or the blood of judgment. And by the reason of the blood of Jesus, I declare every blood that speaks against you is silence forever. Silence forever. Silence forever. Silence forever. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let the blood that speaks mercy, speaks lifting, speaks promotion, speaks provision, speaks protection, speaks advancement, speaks lifting, speaks preservation, speaks longevity, let that blood speak for you. Let it speak for you. Let it speak for you. Let that blood speak for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For the last time, I declare you are discharged and acquitted. I said you are discharged and acquitted. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give God praise in the house.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.